Welcome back to the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time for my next guest. We're going to talk about a fun new book from National Geographic Kids, part of the Weird But True Know-It-All series. We're talking U.S. government, and we're going to chat with Michael Bergen. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for having me on.
Boy, this couldn't be more timely right after a primary election here in Illinois with a whopping 20% voter turnout. I think we're not sending a message to the kids that how important voting might be.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why I was drawn to doing this book, is that I think you can start introducing children pretty young to the importance of the role of government in their lives, the importance of voting. I know I was introduced to that pretty young. I remember going into the voting booth with my mother when I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. So I think my interest in it was stoked pretty early, and hopefully this book will be that same with this generation of kids.
What's really interesting is I remember being taught more about history of government. I remember a very short chapter on civics where we kind of talked about current events and voting and political parties and why that's important. And you kind of dive into a little bit of everything in here. This is a great, like, general overview. And, you know, my daughter found one particular fact about Bigfoot, and then she wanted to learn more.
Oh, the one about the FBI file or the law making it illegal to kill Bigfoot?
Apparently, it's illegal to kill Bigfoot, and I guess he must be captured alive?
Well, and actually, I think the law has since been repealed, but there was a law on the books in a county in Washington State that it was up to a 5-year penalty in jail for killing Bigfoot. Okay, the FBI case came from somebody found some fur out in the woods and thought it was from Bigfoot, and they sent it to the FBI, and the FBI investigated and came to the conclusion that it was from just a normal forest mammal. But there is still a file, you can find it online, for what the FBI was investigating, this alleged Bigfoot hair.
I just love that someone had to make a motion for Bigfoot. Someone had to second that. It passed a committee, and then it passed, you know, the legislature and became a law. And no one along the way said, aren't there other things we should be discussing?
Well, and that's like, there's a couple of places that have outlawed the public use of silly string, which, you know, on one hand, you think that's, again, to your point, like, are you really need to be spending your time on this? But I guess there are some people who are really not pleased to have silly string all over their bushes. So they initiated this.
I'm thinking it was some local representative that was the victim of a prank and decided they need to make that their cause.
Right.
Now, some of the fun things that that even I had never heard of, and it had been rumored, but apparently it's true that members of Congress have, like, their own underground transportation system.
They do. They have the Senate has two lines. The House has one that shuttles them back and forth from two buildings and offices, and it's been in operation since 1909.
And was that used when they have to, like, evacuate them, or this is, like, just normal everyday transportation?
It's normal everyday transportation, yeah. I think, you know, it keeps them out of the elements, and maybe there's a boat going on, they don't want to be seen not there or leaving or something. I mean, it just gives them a little privacy and safety.
Now, when you were researching the book, and again, full of fun facts, is there one you included that, like, maybe you had no clue about, or something that, like, wait a minute, that's not quite right?
Well, there are a lot that I had no clue about.
Yeah.
I think I was drawn to the fact that some odd things have been mailed over the years, probably because my father worked for the post office.
Oh, okay.
But people have mailed a tree trunk, a coconut, a package of 80,000 bricks. And this fact didn't make it into the book, but when the U.S. Postal Service started their parcel post service in 1913, some people actually were able to mail their kids, like a parent might send their kid to their grandparents by parcel post. And after that happened a few times, the government said, no, that's not a very good idea. So they ended that practice.
80,000 bricks. Yeah, that's a fine gift for your postal carrier, for everyone working at the post office, and of course your well, I just want to know who took the time to stack those and get them to the post office.
I'm not sure who it was, but they were actually used to build a bank.
Oh, I guess that makes more sense, but it's interesting the Postal Service was involved. I guess that's because should a brick go missing, you can involve the Postal Inspection Service, and you don't mess with the postal inspectors. They got Butch Cassidy.
That's right. That's right.
One of the things you write about, and you hear all the time, oh, it's in the Library of Congress. This will be in the Library of Congress, the largest library in the world. Now, is it true that a copy of every book published goes into the Library of Congress?
Every U.S. book. I'm not sure about international, but every U.S. book does, yes.
And then I know they also, there's part of the library that catalogs like films and recordings. It's just absolutely massive.
Right. It also contains the largest collection of comic books in the world.
Now, see, now you've got people's interests. And I would think that, I mean, I know certain books are valuable in first editions, but boy, to get your hands, and I'm assuming these were, you know, directly mailed or sent to the Library of Congress, these have to be like pristine condition comic books.
I would assume so, yes. So if you have to, their copy of the number one Superman probably could bring a lot of money.
Now, along with that, you know, if they have baseball cards, because I'm a collector, that would be, this is now a fun place to visit.
It's funny you say that because I was just doing some extra research on the Library of Congress, and they had a big exhibition about baseball, but I couldn't, and it implied that there were baseball cards, but it didn't say how extensive the collection was or how early it went back, but I'm pretty sure they do have some.
But then it's not just books, like they have important historical documents there too that they're keeping in the archives.
Right, they have a copy of the map produced in 1507 that was the first map that had the name America for the continent here. And there's an original drawing of Maya Lin's plan for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. So it's quite a diverse collection.
It blows me away with war and everything that's happened in international incidents and just the passage of time that there are even documents that exist from over 500 years ago.
I know, it is amazing.
And then talking in the book about, and I don't know how often the president has time, I guess it depends on the president, but there's a private bowling alley in the White House. Which president was a big bowler to have that installed?
I think it was Nixon. If I remember correctly, he was the one who really pushed for that. And there's also a bowling alley at Camp David and a basketball court. And going back to the White House, there's a putting green, there's a movie theater, so there's plenty of things for a president to do right on site to get a little relaxation in.
See, now, if there is a putting green, yeah, what they need is just like a 9-hole course, and then presidents don't have to take, you know, vacations to play golf.
Right.
If you had to pick one favorite fact in the book, and maybe it's like choosing a favorite child, but which one would it be?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, the thing about the mailing was definitely one. I enjoyed looking at what states has chosen for their symbols for different things. North Carolina, for example, has a state carnivorous plant, the Venus flytrap.
Yeah.
Texas has official footwear, and not surprisingly, the cowboy boot. And my current state of New Mexico has an official question, which is red or green. And that refers to what color chili you want on your burrito or enchilada.
Oh, wow. An official state question.
You say Christmas.
I love that. I think the official state question, maybe City of Chicago, would be, what's wrong with you? The book, it is so much fun. National Geographic Kids, Weird But True, Know-It-All, U.S. Government. It is now available where books are sold. We've been chatting with Michael Bergen, and thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan.